It's a blessing to be here. I'm going to talk about the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Because we are living in that time of the wonder of the Lord and the wonder of our lives and what God is doing. The wonder of it all. And so before I begin, I just want to have a short video. We've been singing about God's breath in us, but this is about the story of Mary and Joseph and the breath of the Lord in their lives. So we'll watch that first, and then I'll get into the service.
Many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I strong, help me be
beautiful, beautiful song, isn't it? I remember the first time I heard it was at a Christian dance conference, and this beautiful ballerina, young woman, danced it. And every time I hear this song, I see her dancing this out because it was absolutely superb. It was so beautiful. I don't think there was a dry eye in the place when she danced it. So it's beautiful. One of the scriptures I'd like to start with is in Psalms 33. And David, that whole chapter, I'm just going to draw out a couple of verses from the chapter, but it's really about wonder. And now with breathtaking wonder at everyone coming, breathtaking wonder, let everyone worship Yahweh, this awe-inspiring creator. Words he breathed and worlds were birthed. Let there be, and there it was, springing forth the moment he spoke. No sooner said than done. Isn't that Lord? You know, he is the creator God. He is the creator of all, not only in the beginning of creation, but he is the creator of all things in our lives. And when we recognize the creative work and the creative word in our lives, it will spring forth in a way in which we're very surprised. Two promises of birth were received by two different women, Elizabeth and Mary. And their journeys began with a story. And their husbands had a revelation as well, one with a dream, one by the angel Gabriel. And the story goes that Zechariah, a priest, was doing his priestly duties, and the angel came to him. And what was his response when he said, "Your wife is going to be with baby"? His response is, "How could this be? No way. She's beyond the age." But it happened. It happened. And because of his unbelief, what happened to Zechariah? He became mute and was unable to speak until the birth. And who was the birth for? Who was it? It was John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, the cousin of Mary. And so that family relationship was a blessing to both of the women. And I'm sure that Zechariah wondered during this story as it was producing and growing in the womb of Elizabeth, just who this person was that God was giving and birthing within their lives. John the Baptist, a man that would be the forerunner of Jesus. Different. Different than perhaps they had planned as a young child. The story is that he was a wild man. He was in the wilderness eating locusts and honey. So what kind of parent would enjoy the development of that story, right? Do you think Jesus and his word and his creative word wrecks our lives? We talked about the reckless love of God. But he also comes not only lovingly, but also to wreck our lives completely. Tear down those things in us that are not of his nature, of his thought, of what his will is for us and our destiny, because we sometimes have those things in us that we have decided, this is who we are. And God says, that's not right. This is who I want to make you to become. And so he comes very often and wrecks our lives. And so Zechariah, I believe, and Elizabeth had their lives changed totally. The story is that Mary, of course, when the angel came to her, can you imagine that as a young woman? For those of us who are women, my. And yet her response was, be it unto me what your word has said. Be it unto me. Now she knew what the customs were of pregnancy before marriage. And she was betrothed. She was engaged. But they had not been together. So how was this all going to happen? What kind of thought processes did she have in receiving the creative word of the Lord? And how was this going to be worked out? And Joseph, oh my. Think of him as men, what his response was in the dream. And yet, he responded, and so we know what the story is. Mary went to Elizabeth, and as she approached Elizabeth, what happened? That baby, John, leaped in her tummy, knowing that something special was about to happen. I do believe that happened. I believe there was something happening spiritually in that moment of them gathering together that was very special. And it was revelation. When God brings revelation to us, something happens. And he brings it in so many different ways. He brings it in so many different ways, the revelation of what he wants to do in us and what his plan is and how we are a part of the story. Because we don't know. We're blind. We don't always see what God was wanting to do. And so, what a marvelous moment as women to share in that time of pregnancy. And Mary, of course, being pregnant with Jesus. What a wonderful time they had of knowing that somehow, some way in this story that God was writing in their lives, he was producing a destiny, not only for them, but for the generations that followed. For the generations that followed. What a wonder it all was. What a wonder it is. When we become part of the destiny of story that God wants for us in our lives. And so we know what the story goes. Mary goes back, and they take the journey to Bethlehem, and there Jesus was born, a babe in the manger, and yet he was the Son of the living God. And Isaiah describes him as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Wow. Yet it was a babe in a manger, looking like a babe in a manger, right? No King of Kings, no crown, nothing more than a babe in a manger. And yet within his seed had been from the very beginning of creation, God the Father being reproduced in the Son of God, the whole Godhead within a small baby, living out the destiny of redemption that you and I enjoy today. For that was the beginning of redemption to us, to bring the light of the world into existence. And not only for that, for Jesus to be proclaimed as a savior of the world, but for him to then come into our lives and implant the seed of the kingdom of God. And that's where we are today. The seed of the kingdom of God grows in us. And as that happens, and as we walk out the story that God has destined for us, that wonderful map of journey, which takes us completely in different directions than what we presumed would happen. How many of you know that your life is now totally different than it was even 2 years ago? We are living in an accelerated time of destiny. And when you recognize that God has a destiny now for us, not just in that time period, but a destiny, and it causes us to wonder, Lord, what are you doing? Am I the only one who says that? Lord, what are you doing here? I'm not sure I'm getting it. But then as we seek and respond to the Lord and surrender to what God is saying, we find that it's an amazing journey of reckless love. And that breath of heaven is a thing that comes to us, that motivates us to walk it all out. The Lord breathing into us in the times of difficulty, the times of joy, the struggles, the darkness, the light of the Lord walking that through our lives. We are wrecked forever. And I think when I came to that knowledge that I'm wrecked forever, Lord, I don't know what you have in store for me. My life didn't end this way, the way I thought. My dreams weren't completed in the way that I thought. But I know that what you've started in my life is going to be completed. And it's going to bring the destiny that you want it to bring and you want it to have. And Lord, I'm willing to allow you freedom to build me in a new way, to change me, to change my thoughts, to pull down those things in my life, that those thought processes that are not the way that I need to be thinking about what you're doing now. We are crossing over into a really different time of serving the Lord. The crossover has already happened, I believe. It's just that we just have to catch up. Some of us are slower than others, right? But it is an amazing time of wonder. And he doesn't want any of us to be left out. And that's the amazing part. He calls each one of us to come, to lay down our lives, to receive all that is needed for this walk. I don't know about you, but I'm in my last part of my life. I hope I have a lot more years in my estimation. But life has no guarantees. But I determined some years ago that whatever time I had left, I would live out with passion what God wanted me to do. And I believe he's calling us to that place, all of us, to live out that place with our families, with our communities, within the church, but mainly with the relationship of Jesus. We can't live it out without that relationship. He is the one. Wonderful Counselor. Wow, have I had to have that one working in my life. Counsel me, Lord, because I need your counsel. I need it every day. Mighty God. Oh, Lord, if you don't work here, I'm done. I'm totally gone because I need the supernatural might of the Lord working in my life every day, not just one time, every day. And doesn't he just give us a glimpse of what that is? He just shows us those little moments. I call them kisses from heaven, where he just shows us. And they're very like it's just a moment in time where you glance and you see the love of Jesus, his grace, his mercy working in our lives. And it's just so marvelous to have that relationship with the Lord as we walk this thing out, fully completed. I want to end my life fully completed before the Lord. Don't you? Fully completed in every single area. And I don't want that just for myself. I want it for my family. And I know you do too. And I'm so excited about what God is doing in the generations. See, the covenant of God started in the Old Testament. It came in the life of through the covenant in the rules and regulations, but Jesus came. And when Jesus came, what an amazing turn of events happened. It didn't stop there, though. When he went back to heaven, he said, my life I give to you. And when the Holy Spirit came and indwelled man with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, it says that he would empower us to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the world. And that commission is there for all of us, to empower us to be witnesses in our own lives, in our own families. And what miracles we're experiencing because of that power and that destiny. Answers of prayer. Wow. This church knows that. You know, because you have put your hearts and determination to pray. This is a body who prays and sees God's miracle-working power. It was a great part of my experience coming here, and still is, because I meet very often with people and we pray together from this body. And it's a wonderful opportunity. So my challenge to us this morning is that let the wonder of it all grip our lives. Let the reckless love of Jesus come to us and continue to tear down those things in us that are going to hinder us. I do believe traditions in the wrong sort of way can hinder us. Sometimes our traditions really get stuck, and we hold on to certain things that God says it's time to let those go. Not the clear creed of the Lord that we sing about. Those things are the doctrines of our life that holds us steady, that keep us with that foundation of who we are. But the traditions of man that sometimes we think are so important, and we think, well, we've always done it this way, and, I just hate to give this up. But God is saying it's going to be different from this time forward. Mary was different. Joseph was totally different. In fact, the direction of their lives changed for everyone in the Christmas story. Everyone. Mary and Joseph took a different route going home. It wasn't the same. The shepherds watching their flock left and went. The wise men followed the star. That wasn't their direction. And so it is with our life, that God is doing an abundant, beautiful thing in us, in his church, to cause us to grow up in this time. And wow, how we need to do that. The church needs to really grow up in maturity, because he's got an amazing time in this, what I would say, end time for us. No matter how many years are left before the Lord returns, he wants to use each one of us to the fullest ability that you're able to give your life to the Lord. So my challenge to you this morning is continue to seek the Lord. He hasn't finished his story. He hasn't finished the story of your life. And he certainly hasn't finished the fullness of your destiny until he calls us home. So I'd like you to stand. And let's just pray together, and then I'll turn it back to the elders. Oh, Father, we are just so aware of the breath of your life flowing in us, in our lives, in our bodies, in our spirits, in our hearts, even in our minds, Lord. We know what it is to feel your presence and companionness all around. And Father, I just pray right now that if there are those who feel they are not experiencing that in their life fully but want to, Father, I ask right now, as we stand together, that you will come and you will reveal yourself in even a greater way into their lives, Lord. Reveal yourself in power. Reveal yourself in wonder. Reveal yourself in might. Reveal yourself as counselor, as mighty God, as Prince of Peace, as everlasting Father. Lord, the revelation of who you are is so needed, not only for our lives, but then in turn, let us be the light of that revelation to others. And so, Father, we pray for everyone here that as we end this year of 2018 in the coming weeks, Lord, that we will begin 2019 with greater revelation of who you are, of your purposes in our life, of your power and your glory. And Lord, we pray for this church, Father, that you will unfold. You will unfold the coming weeks, Lord, of what your desires are for them in this new year. In their families, in the church, in the leadership, Lord, let there be a revelation that will equip them for the days ahead, Father, whatever that might be. And we pray a mighty blessing on each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.